Hello, and welcome to Season 1, Episode 9 of the Virtual Coffee Podcast. I'm Becca, and this is a podcast that features members of the Virtual Coffee community. Virtual Coffee is an intimate group of developers at all stages of their coding journey, and they're here on this podcast sharing their stories and what they've learned. And we're here to share it with you. Here with me today is my co-host, Dan.
Thanks, Becca. This is the last episode of our first season, so we thought instead of having a guest, we'd just talk a bit about our own journeys to tech and share some thoughts and experiences spending the last year with Virtual Coffee.
We start every episode of the podcast like we start every Virtual Coffee. We introduce ourselves with our name, where we're from, what we do, and a random check-in question. Today's question is, if you could choose any fictional person to be your imaginary friend, who would it be and why? We hope you enjoy this episode. Hey, I'm Becca. I'm a front-end developer from a small town in Ohio. And if I could choose any fictional person to be my imaginary friend, I've got WandaVision on my mind because today is the series or season finale. And so I'm going to go with Wanda.
Wanda. All right. Hi, I'm Dan. I am a front-end developer from Cleveland, Ohio. If I could choose any fictional person to be my imaginary friend, I think I would choose Chewbacca. He seems like a really good friend, you know, always got your back, good co-pilot, whatever, can, you know, beat people up, like if they are mean to you, stuff like that.
That's useful.
Or at least threaten to beat people up. Yeah.
I've got a dog that looks like Chewbacca, and so I'll just send her to you.
Excellent. This is the dog that, you know, jumps on the counter and eats all of your food.
Yeah, she ate a bag of chocolate chips this morning.
All right, then.
But she might be able to defend you. When one of my kids caught the microwave on fire, she barked a lot, and that was good. So
see, that's helpful.
Yeah. See, that's useful. I'll just send her up later. Okay, so this week's episode is a little bit different than other week episodes. This is the last episode of season one, which just means we're going to take a couple of weeks off, do some recording, and get ready for season two. And today we don't have a guest. We're just going to kind of talk about how we got started doing this. So in other episodes, we get the origin stories of our guests usually. And so today we're going to start with our origin stories. So Dan, why don't you go first?
Okay. So how I got into tech, I sort of grew up having computers, you know, around the house, and started doing web stuff in high school. So this was like 99-ish, 2000. I think the first couple of things I did were flash sites, actually. So I had like I was in a punk band, you know, in high school, and we did a little like site and some web stuff. The flash was fun because I don't know, there's a lot of drag and drop stuff that you could do cool things with. And then through college, I went to college as a computer science major, switched to English because I had a hard time with some of, especially the math, and also higher level computer science in college got real boring because I wasn't really doing any programming anymore. It was like more theoretical stuff and also like assembly language, which is not very fun for me. And but on the side, I was kind of continuing to do more random web stuff. And at some points, I don't know, at some point in there when I was in college, did a couple 4pay sites, or, you know, projects, for people. And that was kind of fun. And, I ended up dropping out of college, not really to pursue a career or anything like that, but, I was struggling in college for a lot of different reasons. And, when I got home, so I moved in, you know, back home with my parents, and there was a sort of family friend that had was starting a local newspaper, and so the Lakewood Observer, and I started just working for him and doing that, and I don't know, it went pretty well. Did not pay very much, and I didn't really know that it didn't pay very much. But also I was, you know, 20, whatever, and just living with my friends, and, you know, it was fun. And started working for Sprockets in around 2007, I think. Sprockets is another independent kind of group that, I don't know, they do projects for clients. And so I was doing front end for them, and have been doing front end for them since then. And I don't know. And then now we're here. So I don't remember exactly when it was, but some couple of years ago, I guess, I thought, well, I could use some extra help with some Sprockets work. And so right around that time, I saw Becca's tweet. I wasn't even following you on Twitter. Somebody else, I keep meaning to go and track down who it was, but somebody, you know, shared, "You're looking for a job, you know, just graduated from, I always want to say Gridiron.
Flatiron.
You know, and so I don't know. I think DM'd you or replied on Twitter, and so you were my first like contractor, subcontractor or whatever. So we started working together around then, and yeah. And then right. So and then we got to when the pandemic started, and all of my work dried up, which meant, of course, all of Becca's work dried up, and so we had to sort of stop working together for a little bit, which it turned out worked out pretty well, because I think that's when Becca started Virtual Coffee. Yeah. And so I, obviously we were still friends, and, you know, you were doing the Virtual Coffee thing. And so I don't know, I think I came to the third or fourth one that you did, something like that. And so that's how I found out about Virtual Coffee as well. So that's my like sort of long-winded tech and Virtual Coffee origin story all in one story.
All mixed together. Yeah. So my first experience with coding, actually, so I have an English degree, and my first job, I wanted to be a lawyer for my entire life. And then I decided in my last semester of undergrad that I didn't want to be a lawyer anymore. Mm-hmm. And so then I was just kind of left like, oh, what am I supposed to do? And so I taught adult education for almost a year. And then I got a job as a community organizer. And I had planned to go to grad school for English. But while I was a community organizer, one of my first tasks, my boss was like, okay, I need you to go home and learn HTML and CSS this weekend. And I was like, okay. So I don't know if he's my boyfriend or my fiance at the time, Jesse, who is now my husband. He had taken a bunch of CS courses, and I knew he had some books. And I was like, can you teach me HTML and CSS? And literally we just like opened a textbook and we're looking through the textbook over the weekend. And I came in on Monday and I was like, okay, I learned HTML and CSS. But I just basically had to know how to use Dreamweaver. And so you don't need to know that to make the site. And I was just doing mostly content updates, but occasionally there would be like some weird thing that would happen and the template would mess up, and then you would have to go in and look at the HTML and CSS. So I did not really like it. And I did not want that to be part of my job, but it was. And then I went to grad school for English, and I taught for 8 years. And then I went through a trauma with my fourth kid, and it just kind of like flipped my world upside down. And so I was going through all these mental health things, and I had PTSD, and I didn't realize that I was just like cycling these events over and over in my head. And my husband was like, hey, why don't you learn to code? And I was like, why would I learn to do that? Cause I can't even think straight. But I finally just wanted him to shut up. So I started Free Code Camp. And the fun part of that was the cycling thoughts stopped when I was coding. So I don't know if it was learning a new skill or if it was just my brain was getting into hyper focus in a way that like shifted away from all of those thoughts, but it just became a huge form of therapy. And I found a really supportive community. I think like I had signed up for Twitter and I was trying to be funny on Twitter and I'm like, not funny. So that wasn't going so well. And so then I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm just going to tweet about what I'm learning about. And then people were like, hey, good job. And I was like, oh, cool. Like I've got cheerleaders. That's fun. Or hype people. And I don't know, just like having somebody being encouraging, kind of like, okay, I can keep going with this. And then I found a group of moms who were coding, and that was really important. One of them had talked to me about her experience with postpartum depression and how learning to code really got her through that. And that resonated with what I was going through. And so I ended up going to Flatiron School, and I did that for a year. I think it took me a year to do their, it's a part-time remote, I can't remember what it's called. It's like work as you go kind of thing, right? So like there's, you set your own pace basically. Mm-hmm. And so that worked the best for me because I had kids at home. I had a 1-year-old, 3-year-old, 6 and 8 at the time. And so after I graduated, I felt 0% ready to apply for jobs. And my husband was like, hey, you should just put it out there. And I did. And then Dan messaged me and I thought, this is not going to work out. I am not ready for this. But then we had a conversation and I felt really comfortable, like, okay, you know, maybe I can do this and maybe I can work my way through these challenges. And it was, I mean, the first 6 months were really rough. just a lot of like second guessing myself and not knowing when to ask questions. And then I feel like we hit our stride and then the pandemic hit.
Yeah.
And then that was really challenging. And that is when I started Virtual Coffee, because I started going to interviews and I had never interviewed before because we just basically had a conversation. And the interviews were horrendous. They were so awful. And I just remember thinking, like, you know, I need to be able to talk to other people. And so I just put it out there on Twitter and people wanted to talk too. And so, yeah, that's just kind of how Virtual Coffee started, because I was having a hard time and I needed friends. Yeah.
I mean, being able to talk to people has been just so great. It's been like this probably isn't like news to a lot of other people, but it was sort of to me. It's like one of those things that where I didn't really understand how much it was like affecting me not having it, you know, being independent my whole career, and even working like I've working with Sprockets and working with other groups that almost all small, you know, small organizations, and I'm usually the only one doing the work, you know, like front end or whatever. Like I'm the only one, I'm like working alone even when I'm working together, right? And having the, you know, having the community, I helped create the Cleveland React meetup the summer of whenever that was, 2019, I guess. And that was, you know, they're really fun. It was the same thing. I was just kind of like, I just want to be able to talk to people, you know, and then the Virtual Coffee has been great because Cleveland React is awesome, but it's all, you know, just React stuff, right? And so Virtual Coffee is just a collection of people in all different levels, all different interests. We have, you know, people that are like front end people. We have people that are back end people, you know, people that are just like learning for the first time any kind of code. You know, we have people that have been doing it for a really long time. And, you know, I don't know. It's great. It's just so great to have a collection of people like to just talk you know, talk to and about things and share things, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, one of the, I don't know, like one of the things that I like a lot about virtual coffee is that how like willing everybody is to share. So, you know, it's not just technical things that they're talking about, but we do have people from all over. And so like to learn about DevOps or to learn about management, those are things that I don't know that I would really get to understand anywhere else. But then also to hear them talk about their challenges, whether that's, you know, in their personal life or at work, those things, I think help me to really grow a lot because I'm looking at this person. And a lot of times what we see online, especially, you know, as someone who learned remotely and who's always worked remotely, you don't get a lot to see a lot of like the frustrations or, you know, all of the other things that come with being human because people put on social media, like their curated personality or whatever. So to see all of that is, I don't know, been really great to understand that we're not just what we see online, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that idea is even come up here on the podcast with some of our other guests, you know, that same thing. I don't have much more to add to it, but yeah, I mean like that's it. Right. I mean, it's just like we're not just like, putting our best, whatever faces on, you know? And it's hard to do sometimes, you know, it's hard to do, excuse me. Some people can do it really well, even just on Twitter, to share this, like that I struggle with it, you know, and so when I don't have something like perfect and fancy to show off, I usually just don't say anything on Twitter, you know, and it's hard. I don't feel like I always have to be like that, here or at Virtual Coffee, et cetera, especially just the Zoom meetings, you know, I mean, like Slack is great. I mean, it's like, so, you know, on Virtual Coffee, we have the Slack conversation that's pretty much always going, but the coffees, you know, twice a week are like where we really just get to like hang out, you know, and talk, and we're not like presenting, nobody's presenting and nobody's, you know, doing anything like that. And it's just people kind of talking and following, like letting the conversations kind of flow and like, as if we were actually just having coffee together. and I don't know, it's nice.
Yeah, I was in Glenn's breakout room a couple of weeks ago, and I loved how he described it. He was like, let's just pretend we're sitting around a coffee table and we're all just like sharing, like we're friends here, right? And that's, you know, initially virtual coffee was so much of that. It was just like me coming into Zoom and saying like, oh, I'm really sad right now. And I just spent all last night crying. That's like been my theme for the last year. I cried today.
Yeah.
But
it's been a rough year.
It's been a rough year. But also like it's a group where I can feel comfortable at least like saying that stuff out loud. Somebody like messaged me last night or this morning and they were like, thank you for talking about crying because I am always afraid to cry in front of people. And like that definitely was me too. And now it's just, I think I had like 3 meetings this week and I just cried in all 3 of them. So having a rough week and like, I don't want to spend emotional energy trying to not be human right now. So, I am very appreciative of, the supportive environment that allows me to be able to be human in those moments.
Yeah. No, I think that's great. I think that's a great way to like frame it too, you know? And it's really, I mean, we've come to it sort of organically, you know, over the last year, but that like allowing people to just be people, you know, and not like developers or job seekers or whatever else, you know, X thing. And just like a lot of us have similar, you know, things we're dealing with or whatever, but the whole point of, you know, a virtual coffee is more just like, you know, providing a space, right, to be an actual person, you know, and not a 10X developer or whatever.
Or yeah. A robot.
or a robot in general.
Okay, so one of the things that I think is like really complicated about the past year, right, with the pandemic and all of this stuff, it's been such a hard time and there have been a lot of struggles, but I always feel like it's super weird when like good things are happening at the same time, right? And so like out of this year, virtual coffee started and we're about to hit on April 9th. That will be our 1 year birthday. And March 23rd, I think we'll hit our 100th coffee chat. And so like, we're hitting some big things and it's super exciting. And it's always like very weird to frame that in like all of the rest of the hard stuff that's going on. But I think it's been, I don't know what I would have done without virtual coffee in the last year and like trying to remember like, okay, there's a lot of hard stuff that's still going on, but like it's okay to feel good about things in the midst of the hard stuff. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's really important. I mean, I agree about virtual coffee and also like I have two kids. I have a almost 5-year-old, right, and a 2-year-old, and that's been really hard with the pandemic and the quarantine and all that stuff. But also, I mean, we have like spent a lot more time, I think, together, you know, than we would have, right? Because they were in daycare, and then they weren't for a couple of few months, and then right, like for instance, right now, like one of their teachers, I think, tested positive, and so we had to quarantine for a couple of weeks. And you know, it's hard. Like we have, it's stressful and hard because of work and, you know, trying to get everything done. But also, I don't know, I'm hanging out with the boys again, you know, like just during the day, every day instead of, you know, after school and then weekends. And there are like pros to that too, you know? So like, I try like it like trying to not get, trying to remember like all of the good things, or any good things, you know, positive things that have happened in during a hard time, I think is valuable and important, you know, because it can be easy to get really caught up, you know, in the bad, right, of any, you know, of any situation really. But I mean, this, it's a global pandemic. We're all kind of going through it, you know? So I think it's an important thing to be able to recognize positive things that have come out of it, you know? Maybe virtual coffee wouldn't have happened had that not happened. Or maybe it would have, but
no,
just a little bit
different.
No, had
you not fired me, virtual coffee would not have happened.
All right. I did not fire you. And this is, you just need to stop saying that.
I only say it just because it bothers you every time.
Oh my God.
It's like, my 11-year-old will just like stare at my 6-year-old in the car and like freaks out, right? Like,
yeah.
So that's what I'm doing. No, but
so I'm the 6-year-old in this conversation. That makes sense.
Sorry, I didn't mean it like that.
No, it's fair.
Or my 4-year-old haunts my 11-year-old and he gets upset. So you can be the 11-year-old if you want.
In our house, it's very much always the 2-year-old who is bothering the 5-year-old, you know, who's like twice his size and, you know, really could just do anything, you know, but he's just too, nice or whatever. So Samson's just chasing around or stealing his toys or whatever. Anyway, sorry, I interrupted you. You were heading off in a different direction there.
No, what I was going to say was like one of my favorite things I think that's come out of Virtual Coffee 2 has been the podcast. Like I've wanted to start a podcast for probably over a year, but I was always afraid to do it or like I don't know how to do any of that stuff. I'm not going to be able to do it. And then I think somebody asked in Slack, I want to say it was Cameron who was in the mental health episode a couple episodes back. It's like, when is Virtual Coffee starting a podcast? And I was like, we're doing it, right? And then Dan, you were like, yeah, let's do it. And so then like suddenly something that I had been thinking about for a year in my head, like all of going through all these things, then we suddenly just did it, right? We kind of just jumped into it. But it's been a lot of fun to be able to do this and to like look forward to talking to members. And it was a little bit rocky, I think, at first when we were trying to sort through everything that needed to be done and what the process should be. But like once we kind of figured that out, it just became like one of the highlights of my year.
Yeah. I agree. Like the being on a podcast is, I don't know if it's like some kind of thing that I've always wanted to do or whatever, but it always sounded fun, you know? And I like talking to my friends and, you know, I like sharing things and the like audio editing stuff. I mean, I did some of that just on a hobby level for a long time too, you know, in college we made videos or whatever. And so it was kind of fun learning about some of those tools. I found this a Mac app called Hindenburg and for audio editing that I don't think anybody has ever heard of, except that it seems like it's also really popular. So I'm not sure how I found it or where it came from, but I mean, or like where I, you know, how I ended up with it, but it's a cool app, and that it's like learning about that. So like learning about audio editing and learning about podcast hosting and learning about all of this stuff is just like this whole block of like experience that I didn't have before. And now I do, you know, not that I still consider myself a hobbyist at any of it, you know, obviously, but I don't know. It's been fun. I mean, from the technical side, it's been fun. And then, just being able to like share what our members are want to talk about and be able to like have these smaller conversations and, you know, share them out with the world in this format has been really fun too. That idea of like, we have an idea and then we just kind of decide to go with it has been like one of, I feel like all our hallmarks, in Virtual Coffee for, you know, for better and worse, usually better. But like it's been fun. It's kind of like how a lot of the like big successful things that we've done, I mean, I say big, but like relatively big for us, have gone, you know. I wasn't in the room, so to speak, when the Hack the Wordfest stuff, when that conversation started, you know, but you guys like asked me to help out with Hacktoberfest pretty soon. And then we just kind of like, we're like, yes, we're doing this and we're going to make it awesome, you know? And we've never looked back really, you know? Same with the lightning talks, you know? And that was, you know, Becca was just like, okay, we're doing lightning talks at the end of this month. And we're like, all right, cool. Let's do it. I don't know. We'll figure it out, you know? We'll do it live. And it was awesome. Like those lightning talks in November were amazing. I was trying to make a list of, I mean, we could do this later. We had one of our members ask just for the podcast, like, well, some of our favorite things that happened, you know, and those lightning talks in November, were really fun. You know, it was great having the you know, our members kind of do all of these like amazing little talks. And I don't know, it was a lot of fun. And also I learned how to do live streaming on YouTube, which is another thing I didn't know how to do before, you know, it's been fun. So I don't know.
That whole October, really it started like late August, I think, with all of these things. I don't know. I want to say I thought maybe we should do something for Hacktoberfest, but not ever had dreamt up what we ended up going with, right? And so you had been saying for a while, like, hey, if you need some help with it, and at that point we were working together again, I think. And so yes. I was like, okay, well, you know, I'll see if Dan wants to help with this too. And then we brought Kirk on, and Sarah and Brian and I think had already talked about it. And then suddenly it just became this really big thing with mentors and supporting maintainers and having our contributors and, you know, having a site. You totally redid the site so we could have a Hacktoberfest issue. And so it was just, I don't know, so amazing, but also super challenging because we were, you know, kind of winging it in the beginning. Like, what are we going to do? Lots of brainstorming. And then, I don't know, you just got all of this stuff up and going. And it was challenging too. I feel like this is like a point in the last year that was super pivotal for me to be able to have conversations that were harder for me to have. So I'm generally like, oh, this is a hard conversation coming up. So I'm just going to like turn around and just not talk to people until it passes over or they just don't talk to me at all anymore. But it's much harder to run from people when it's on the internet. So having these conversations that were hard that I didn't want to be having. And so it was just like forcing me out of my comfort zone. And Hacktoberfest was great. And afterwards, I was so proud of everything that we did and all of our members. And then as we were, it took a lot more time and effort than I thought. And then somebody mentioned like, hey, didn't you say we're going to do lightning talks in November? I was like, yes, I said that. And yes, we will. So we had no process, nothing. I kind of thought that I had some people that were going to help that couldn't help. And so then I was just, you know, muscling through it. And then Dan, I think you were like, hey, do you need some help with this? And I'm not good at asking for help. And so that, you know, that's another thing. My instinct, my gut reaction would be to say, no, I've got this. I don't want to inconvenience you. But I think it came off of Hacktoberfest and that was the perfect time because, you know, I was able to, you know, work through some of these communication issues. Like I knew that I could trust you and that it would be really great to have your help. And so then rather than saying like, no, I don't want to inconvenience you, I was like, yes, please. You know. And so that was like 2 weeks. I think that in the final 2 weeks, there was a lot of stuff that we put together, but it was, and I was so exhausted after that. And I just like wanted to lay down for a week. And then I started seeing everybody who spoke tweet about their experience and how proud they were. And then I was just like, this is amazing. When are we going to do this again? You know, Kyle Welsh calls it the post-conference high. And I was like, yes, that's 100%. It's so stressful. And you are like, I never want to do this again. And then it's done. And you're like, that was amazing.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah. Well, asking for help. Yeah. I mean, that's been sort of a big thing that we've been working on. I feel like you've been getting personally better at asking for help, but we're, you know, trying to find ways to, I don't know, make it so everybody can do everything right. And come up with some processes to make things less stressful. And, cause up until recently, I mean, Beck, it's really, you've been just like doing everything, all of the coordinating everything and talking to everybody and, you know, and it's been amazing, you know, but like we always want to do more, right? And there's like limits to what we can do, right? And so that's been one of the things that like we've been struggling with recently, I feel like, is I'm not struggling with how to best do it, right? How to set up processes for people and you know, how to like empower our members to do things. Cause I mean, we always like want everybody to do whatever they want, you know, on their own, obviously. But like if we have some virtual coffee stuff, we want to be able to give them tools, you know, so that they can like do things, you know, and like we can support them and provide guidance and, you know, mentorship in certain situations, things like that. So that's been like, I think on the top of our minds, you know, recently, well, that, and also our most recent lightning talks, which also, you know, I mean, this was part of that practice, right? It was, we had a really awesome team of members helping coordinate and mentor our lightning talk session, this past, what was it, last Friday?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So that seemed like 3 months ago, but I guess it was only a week ago. but yeah, I thought like it went really well. We're going to, talk to our team and, you know, see what went well and what didn't, you know, I think we have something like that scheduled, next week, which I'm looking forward to. But yeah, like how did you feel? I mean, how did you think this was different for you? You know, compared to last time when you just did everything.
Yeah. So this was, I mean, it was a great experience because I love seeing everybody put in the time and to support all of the people who are speaking. Right. And so it's great to see the community members, you know, really, really having a chance to do a lot of the things that we've been doing. For me, you know, I've never really been in a position where I'm like managing people, right? And this felt a little bit like I was the kid in school that the teacher was like, you have an assignment that's due in 6 weeks. And I would go home and do that assignment, you know? And I recognize that a lot of people are not like that, right? And so there's like that balance there, right? Like, let's give them the autonomy. But at the same time, we are trying to refine our process, because before there was, my notes were like not that great because I was just doing it. And so Now it was like, okay, so I need to go back and I need to look at all these things, make sure that they feel supported. And there were definitely some gaps that we missed in how things should go. Or maybe there was like a step that wasn't clear, right? And that's part of the process. It's going to get better as we go along. It was a lot of like trying to figure out, you know, where I was needed or how I best could support people. And then, you know, right before the lightning talks, I had this, you know, thing come up that I was not expecting. And so I was like missing for the whole day before lightning talks. I wasn't available. But I mean, that's why you have a good team and good structure, right? Like, you know, Dan, I know that I messaged you and you were making sure that everybody felt supported. And so I don't know, I guess this is my long way of saying that, you know, having good support is so important. And making sure that you are allowing people the opportunity to do things, but also encouraging questions, right? Because, I think, you know, especially as a newer developer, that asking questions can be really hard because you don't know if you should ask questions or, you know, if you're asking the right question. And in the same way here, I think allowing people the opportunity to ask questions, that's what makes us develop a better process, because it's not about, you know, whether or not you know something. It's about us making sure that it's clear for any person that comes into the room that they can do this, because it doesn't make sense to, you know, depend on one or two people to do all of the things, because if something happens, then it doesn't go on. Like, community is about community, right? And so I think that, you know, I feel very good about like being able to refine this process, so we can do this again.
Yeah, it's been interesting. And there's a lot of, I don't know, similarities in my mind to just software, open source software, especially, where, you know, one of the things to figure out is, you know, if you're going to have, like, when you're just developing something by yourself, it doesn't really matter how, you know, you can do it how you want, and you don't have to make every decision, you know, clear, and you don't have to, you know, write down specifically like how you do things or how you want things to be done, you know. But as soon, like, if you want people to help you, right, then you need to start writing some stuff down, right? And so this is like any open source project. If you want contributors, then, you know, you need to decide, okay, like what do you want them contributing to and how, right? And if like you care what code style they use, for instance, right, then you need to either write it down or automate it, right? I mean, like, you know, and or decide that you don't care, you know? Like code has a nice thing where, like, especially if you're using GitHub, right, where you can do a pull request, right? So you can like start to, you know, start to figure out where you need to improve your docs or what, you know, how, like, you know, discuss things and, you know, things like that. Don't always get that with not software, right? So it just takes more communication and more talking, more writing, things like that. Just a lot of work. But I think the reward is going to be, you know, worth any amount of, you know, work we can put into it, because it's just going to make the community, you know, like the virtual coffee community is like amazing because of all of the people like already doing amazing things, you know? And it's, I don't know. I feel like we're in this cool place right now where it is, you know, we're trying to like work a bunch of things out, but everybody's like excited. We have people that are excited about helping, and I can, you know, I don't know. You can like see some really cool things coming down the line, you know, in a little bit. So I don't know. I'm excited about the where we're heading with virtual coffee.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you would have asked me a year ago if we would still be doing virtual coffee, number one, I would have said no. Like, I think this is going to stop probably this summer, right? But we're still doing twice a week coffees. We have a newsletter. We have a podcast. We have a Twitter account. We've done lightning talks. We've done a million brown bags. Like, we now have project boards for things, you know? Like, this is so far outside of anything that I could have dreamt up. And it's just, I don't know, so great, you know?
So I have a question for you. If you like were, I mean, I know I sort of know the answer to this, but like, if you were like, okay, I want to create a community that has like full of amazing people and does like, is producing these this content on their own and everything like that, but you're starting from scratch, you know, a year ago, like, do you think it is even possible to do what we're doing if you had this like a specific, you know, thing in mind? Or I'm not sure if this is like, this is a really very good question, but like, I'm not sure if you can follow what I'm asking or not. But when you started, it wasn't like I'm building a community, right? When you started it, you just wanted some people to talk to, right?
I want to be sad together.
I want to be sad together, right? All right. Well, I'm glad you didn't call it, you know, the Sad Together Club or something, but it might have been a different community. But the idea of, I don't know. I said I was going to ask you a question, then I just kept talking. but I guess what I was saying is a lot of the stuff that's happened has happened, you know, organically. And that like organic creation versus like a very like goal or, you know, driven, like a goal oriented, you know, creation is kind of, you know, two different ways of doing things. And so I guess I was just like, want to see what you thought, you know, or if you've thought about that.
Yeah. Well, I think like I've got two kind of answers. Like, first of all, I never would have started virtual coffee, I think, in any other circumstance. Like, there were so many, like the first, I don't know, probably 6 months, I can't tell you how many times I was like, I do not know why people keep coming to virtual coffee. Like, I don't think that I'm a great person to be like talking to people or to be organizing these things. Like, there's just a lot of self doubt and like, what am I doing? Like, there are certainly people here that could be doing this much better than I am. And maybe I should just be like, hey, why don't you do this? Because I'm just not that great at it. And so I think, like, you know, if somebody was like, hey, want to start a community? I would have been like, no way. I don't have the skills for that. I'm definitely not good enough to do that. So I think, like, outside of happening organically, it wouldn't have. But at the same time, I'm also a planner. So like the last year of just constantly growing and pivoting and, has been a challenge for me, but I mean a good one, right? Because, like, I'm growing with it. I'm learning to let things go and to, you know, apologize when I need to, or not take a break, 'cause I need to learn that one. But I like the idea of having thoughtful processes in place that I can kind of follow into this thing. And, you know, one of the challenges too, when I finally recognized at Hacktoberfest, like, okay, well, we're a thing and we're not going anywhere. Maybe I should start thinking about, you know, what this should look like. And so I did like a deep dive into open source stuff, and I really felt like, okay, we're kind of an open source community rather than like an open source project, open source software, because we follow a lot of the same, I don't know, like guidelines or thought processes. Everybody is contributing. We're giving our time, and we're all growing in a positive way because of it. And then I was looking at other communities, and I couldn't really find any like virtual coffee, which was kind of like, oh, now I don't have a model that I can look at. Mm-hmm. But also like, hey, you know what? We're doing something special here, and there's a reason why people are coming. And so trying to embrace that has been, I don't know, like really important to me. But also I think that that's also one of the reasons why I could have never done it, because I would want to have had more guidelines. Like, what am I supposed to be doing right now? But I think like we're on our way. The Lightning Talks was huge. I mean, you put together like the project board and broke down issues and stuff, and that was just, okay, so to be honest to anyone listening, at first I was very resistant to the project boards.
That's true.
Might have gotten a little bit upset about it and demanded we stop project boards.
I just said you didn't have to look at them. It was okay.
But it turned out so good. Like, we're able to organize and support through things. So like if I think could go back and start with the issues broken down and the project boards there, then that's like right now where we are. I would have taken that and started with that.
I mean, that's been a really interesting thing. I mean, for one thing, as an experiment, you know, we're going to meet and see how other people, you know, felt about them. I've found like when I'm, I don't know, on my own, I don't do any of this stuff, you know, but as soon as I'm trying to work with other people, I lose track of everything instantly. Like that's just, I mean, that's how that's just how my brain, you know, works, or, you know, doesn't work. But, the project boards, any sort of like that board layout, you know, is very helpful for me just to be able to visualize like what's going on, you know? And so I've been like leaning on them with your, you know, like our work, like our actual work. and I thought it could work pretty well with some of this non-code related but still task related, you know, process, like the Lightning Talks, right? So we had a lot of moving pieces. We had a big team of coordinators, and then also obviously the speakers, you know, and bunch of different steps, you know, involved, and we had a lot of help, and we had people helping us figure things out. So I don't know. So yeah, so it was like I'm glad you feel positive about them now. You know, I like, It really was a lot of just me, you know, trying to make it so that I could understand what was happening, you know, and keep track of everything that was moving around. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. You know, in the future, I like the board layout in general for a lot of different things. And people have used them for, you know, I think we've talked about using, like, making some roadmap-y kind of things for virtual coffee, like, you know, some more ways to, like, even just communicate with our members, with, like, aside from just specific tasks and stuff like that, you know, I don't know. So plus they're just built into GitHub, which we're, you know, already using. So, stay there instead of Trello or whatever, external tool, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I will say, I think, you know, the other thing too, that's been challenging, not having thought through this community, is we hit that point where probably in October, it wasn't just like, I need to think about what's happening right now in virtual coffee, but it was thinking about right now and what's coming down the line for virtual coffee. And so you talk about, like, you know, having this roadmap thing. And I think it'll be awesome, you know, if we can get that up and out there, because there's, like, so much thought that's going into, you know, how do we support what we have now, but how do we put things in place to support where we're probably going to go?
Yeah. No, I think it's going to be good. Before we wrap up, I thought maybe we just, like, can share a couple of our, you know, favorite things that happened through the years. I mean, we talked about some of the big things, but there's a lot of, like, small moments in there, you know, too, over the last year or almost year. I was, you know, we were talking about the first Lightning Talks, and, you know, when I was thinking about this question, one of my favorite ones was actually Karen's Lightning Talk from the, you know, her first time out. And it was just like, it was sort of, I think, her first public speaking. And it was, I don't know, it was just a great talk. It was great watching her. I knew she had been working really hard on preparing. And, you know, this Lightning Talk stuff was just, like, it's so crazy for, you know, fast pace. And, you know, I was behind the scenes, like, kind of doing the controlly stuff, but I was also trying to watch, you know, most of them. And then I don't know, Karen just started talking and I just, like, kind of stopped and just, like, sat back and watched. And she was talking about imposter syndrome and as related to tech, I think, and shared a bunch of her, like, a lot of her personal career and story. And I, like, that is just, like, stuck with me, you know, as one of the things that I look back on a lot, and, you know, feel very good about. And it's the thing that pops into my head first when I think, like, when someone's like, okay, well, you know, there's cool things that happen, in virtual coffee. And then this is probably a little recency bias, but, similarly in our last Lightning Talks, Glenn did a talk about transitioning to being a manager from being a sort of regular developer. And it was in a similar vein, a very personal, you know, story. And he, you know, there weren't slides or anything. Glenn just kind of shared with us and talked through some different, you know, things to think about and how they affected him personally. And again, it was just like this moment of sort of, I don't know, calm and, you know, like, calm reflection and sharing that. I feel like those two stick in my brain, because like, we have moments like this a lot in just the coffees too, like, all the time, every week, or twice a week. but, you know, of people just sort of taking a minute and just talking, you know, and sharing, and not about whatever hot tech thing is happening, and not necessarily about any sort of specific advice or anything like that, but more just, I don't know, sharing experiences and how they've, like, reflected on them, and, you know, how they've sort of how their experiences have shaped their, you know, current situation. And I don't know, I always just appreciate those moments when I get them, you know.
Yeah, I really love, I do. The quiet moments are really, really impactful, I think, for me. You know, just hearing people thanking each other, or, you know, even one of my favorite moments, I think, was at the end of the first monthly challenge, was in November. And I had just thought, okay, November is NaNoWriMo, National Novel Writing Month. Okay. And so I don't even know. It was a couple of days before then, like, we're going to run this monthly challenge and we're going to ask everybody to work together to write 50,000 words, because the challenge is for one person to write 50,000 words during the month. Like, maybe we can all do this together. And so people, we didn't hit 50,000 words, but like being able to hear what everybody was talking about and people saying that, oh yeah, I haven't written, like, some people wrote their first blog post. Some mm-hmm. people hadn't written in a long time, and the only reason they did was for the challenge. And then also just seeing everybody just willing to support each other and to share, and then to be like, what's next month's challenge? Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, this is, you know, a really wonderful small thing that we did to create community and to see everybody looking at each other's blog posts and saying, I love this thing that you wrote there, was really special. And in the same way, I think, you know, anytime somebody comments on the podcast or they give their favorite quote from the podcast, those are also a lot of my favorite moments, because you know, they're listening to what people have to say. And they're like, wow, this really stuck with me. And I know probably after every episode we've done, there's been one thing that every person, every guest we've had has said that I have thought about the rest of the week. And it's been so great to, you know, have that and to have that personal connection. So yeah, like all of the, I mean, there have been so many great moments, but just those unexpected ones, I think, are the ones that I just kind of like keep close to my heart.
Yeah, I agree. It's just been, I don't know. I was going to say it's been a great year. It hasn't. I mean, it hasn't, you know, but I don't know. It's like you were saying before, it's weird to say. It's been a great year because it's really been a lot of awful things that have happened this year. But this virtual coffee is very clearly, you know, one of the good things that has come out of all of this.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, we're going to take a couple weeks break. Well, a few weeks, I guess. And I think we're going to do four seasons a year. When we were talking about this, Becca asked if you could have four seasons in a year. And I said, well, I think there already are four seasons. But
I just learned something new. Four seasons in Ohio, at least.
Right. Yeah, we have winter, fake spring, second winter, fake spring again, third winter, and then spring for a couple of weeks, and then it's 90 degrees. That's mm-hmm. at least how it is in Cleveland. But yeah, so we will be back. Season two will start first week of April, and
right in time for our 1 year anniversary.
Right birthday, in time for our one,
whatever.
One year. It's an anniversary, right? I don't know. Whatever.
I don't know.
It is.
I was. Yeah, I'm having a hard time with that.
1 year celebration.
We've been around for a year.
In the meantime, if you would like us to answer any questions or, I don't know, send us any thoughts or, suggestions, feel free to email us at, podcast@virtualcoffee.io. I believe we're on Twitter and other things. Are we on Instagram?
We are on Instagram.
All right. I'm not on Instagram.
Instagram, so LinkedIn, Twitter. You can hit us up on Twitter @virtualcoffee.io. And that's really a great place to ask shorter questions. Or if you want to say hi, you can come to coffee on Tuesday or Thursday.
Thanks again for listening to the Virtual Coffee Podcast. This episode was produced by Becca Hart-Weigel and Dan Ott. That's me. Please remember to subscribe and leave reviews wherever you get your podcasts. And we will see you in April. Bye.